Guy Flaming, how you doing, you old space pirate?
Well, that's all right. I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks.
Well, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you taking some time to join us today. I was just recapping the Oil King game yesterday. They drop a tough 4-3 decision in overtime to the Royals. It always seems like Greg Chase plays his best games when he plays the Oil Kings, doesn't it?
It seems like it. He does rise to the occasion, that's for sure. Likes to play at Rexall Place, likes to play in front of friends and family, and I think he still likes going head-to-head against the Oil Kings, too. Of course, remember the Hitmen for so long, that rivalry built up, and I think he still rises to that challenge to play against some guys he probably knows fairly well across the way.
Oil Kings are finally getting healthy. There's a stretch where they weren't healthy at all, but they're starting to get some bodies back. Andrews Calder returned to the lineup recently. What do you think of how the Oil Kings, basically, they were treading water with some of their bigger players out for quite a stretch?
Excellent way of putting it, too. Just treading water while they had so many impact players who were sidelined with injury, and now some of those guys are coming back, or most of them have come back. And Edgar Skolda has a couple of points in his last two games. And I like the way Cole Benson made a debut a couple games ago, coming back after missing 16 and gets two assists in just the first period. I think that does a lot for their confidence and also for the rest of the team to see immediate impact from guys who have been on the sidelines for a while like that. So now they've got a couple of other injuries with Aaron Irving and Brad Pollock didn't play the last game. Jake Kohlhauser just came back from injury. But all the guys who are out right now seem like they're going to be coming back here fairly quickly. Andrew Kep, another guy that's been on the sidelines for the last week, 10 days or so, looks like he's about 2 weeks away. So the Oil Kings, once they get healthy, this is a team that I don't think a lot of other clubs want to play.
Yesterday for the Kings, Davis Kosh had a goal and an assist. He's got 10 points so far in 28 games. He's still just 16 years old, but I've really been impressed with the small sample size I've seen of Davis Kosh.
Yeah, he's a guy who sees the ice really well, made a few really, really impressive passes yesterday to set up scoring opportunities. One of them went in, a couple of them that were just excellent feeds that probably almost surprised the shooter that it was suddenly on their stick. And they weren't able to capitalize. But, yeah, Davis Kosh has looked really good. He's another guy who battled injury earlier this season, but now coming back and healthy, he's been pretty impressive. And a young guy. He's only a rookie this year. Everybody keeps telling me the Oil Kings are really going to struggle next year with an awfully young team, which is probably true. But they've got some young guys in this club that are impressing me night in, night out.
Guy Flaming, host of The Pipeline Show, joining us here on The Gregor Show. A special edition of The Pipeline Show goes tonight from 7 to 9. I want to ask you about Tristan Jarry, netminder of the Oil Kings. I've been on record many times, Guy. I think he's the best goalie in the Western Hockey League. But earlier this year, he had his goaltending coach, Dustin Schwartz, I guess kind of taken from him. Dustin Schwartz now works more with the Oil Kings, or with the Oilers, as he does with the Oil Kings. Have you noticed a difference in Jarry's game since Schwartz hasn't been there maybe as much as he used to be?
Well, I don't think a difference in the way he plays or the style he plays. He did have a bit of a mini slump right before Christmas, and I think a lot of that had to do maybe with the World Junior Championship and, maybe a bit of a snub there, not getting an invite. And maybe there was some pressure with that. There was also pressure as rumors and uncertainty built up around the trade deadline, whether he was going to be with the Oil Kings or not. And then the team went out on the road, came back, and the Oilers were in town as well. So he had some time where he was able to work and work with Dustin Schwartz again, and I don't know if it was a coincidence, but man, he's looked really, really good since the Christmas break, and I don't think it's coincidence. I think Dustin Schwartz is a fantastic goalie coach, and Tristan Jarry is a strong name. I'll one up you. You said he's the best in the league. I think he's the best in the country, and should have been on the World Junior team, in my opinion, and that's one of the reasons I think the Oil Kings are a dangerous team in the second half and into the playoffs.
Guy Flaming joining us, talking all things CHL. One more on the Oil Kings, and we'll focus more on the Western Hockey League. Steve Hamilton and Ryan Marsh, they had really big shoes to fill. I know Hamilton's been on this, or with this team for now a few years, but three straight seasons of winning 50-plus games, and Steve Hamilton and Ryan Marsh have the Oil Kings competing for a playoff spot. Looks like they're going to make the playoffs out of the Eastern Conference. What do you made of, guess, the first-year duo in the WHL of Hamilton and Marsh?
I really like the combination. I think they're the right guys for the job of taking on a younger Oil Kings team and taking them to the next level. And just because they've worked through the Alberta Junior Hockey League with young players and had success there, and doing it as a combination, as a tandem, the two of them together. I think it's really impressive. I think they're the right guys for the job. And I think the attitude and the air around the team this year would suggest to me that the players are liking it as well. So it's been a good fit, I think, for everyone.
Taking a look at the Eastern Conference, or the Western Conference, sorry, Guy, in the WHL. The Kelowna Rockets, the rich got richer at the deadline. They acquired Leon Draisaitl. He's got 6 points so far in 5 games for Kelowna. I think they were the class of the West before this deal, and that just cemented them. Can we pencil their name in the WHL championships in a few months? Are they that good coming out of the Western Conference?
Well, I think that they'll be the favorites. I think it's premature to take it that far and say they're going to be automatically in the final. They're going to be the favorite in every series. There's no question about that. But listen, last year we thought it was going to be Edmonton and Calgary in the final in the Eastern Conference. Calgary didn't make it out of the first round. A couple of years before that, Saskatoon made big trades, brought Braden Shen in, and it looked like they would be not just a WHL favorite, but a contender for the Memorial Cup. They didn't get out of the second round. So no question in my mind, Cologne is the team to beat right now, but they're not. It's not like they are unbeatable. The Seattle Thunderbirds just beat them 5-2 a couple on the weekend. They're an impressive team, no doubt about it, but any team can be beat.
Kelowna leads the BC division by about almost 20 points over Victoria. Take a look at the U.S. division. You mentioned Seattle. They have 22 wins, but at the top of the U.S. division, Guy, it's the Everett Silvertips. Now, over the last 4 or 5 years, we're used to seeing Portland at the top of the U.S. division. What has Everett done so well this year? They've won 7 of their last 10 games. They lead the U.S. division by a few points over Portland, actually.
Well, a Kevin Constantine-coached team, you would expect it to play pretty sound defensive team hockey. And that's the case for sure. But they also have some firepower. Their two imports, Ivan Nikolishin and Nikita Sherbak, are two guys who can lead the attack on any team in the WHL. So they got two really big offensive weapons, and they get good goaltending, with Austin Lotz. And I think they're just a really balanced team. And, you know, I'm not going to count out the Portland Winterhawks, though. They're always the second team or second half team. So I expect that they're going to be turning on the Jets, and they just laid the boots to the Prince George Cougars to the tune of 8-2 on the weekend as well. So I think Portland is, as they have been all season, kind of rounding into shape.
Guy Flaming of the Pipeline Show joining us. You guys are actually going down to Portland on the show tonight, correct?
Yes. The head coach and GM of the Winterhawks, his name is Jamie Compon, used to be in NHL circles with Chicago and LA respectively, and he is going to be one of our guests on the show tonight, so looking forward to that.
What else can we hear on the Pipeline Show? Special night tonight, Monday Night Pipe at 7 p.m. here on TSN 1260. What else can we look forward to?
Monday Night Pipe, that's good. Yes. We'll be at Evolution Golf, by the way.
Okay.
He's going to kick my butt playing some simulation golf tonight between commercial breaks. I know he's looking forward to that. But, so we'll be down there live. Anybody can stop by and say hello to us. We will also speak with Dave Starman. He's a color analyst on CBS Sports covering NCAA hockey. He'll be our college hockey guest. He's a great guy. He's been on the show several times before, so we'll have him on. Our 2015 Draft Spotlight segment just confirmed that also while I was grocery shopping. But Mitch Marner of the London Knights is going to be our guest tonight. He's a standout right now in the OHL, putting up more points than you would believe. If he doesn't have a 3 or 4 point night, something's wrong. This guy is just filling the net this year. He's going to be our guest tonight. We always have Inside the AJHL as well with Taylor Medic in command of that one. So another very busy show tonight.
I'm looking forward to a special edition of Monday Night Pipeline Show. You guys are up after the highlight reel at 7 p.m. Guy, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to chat with me. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll tune in tonight at 7 p.m.
All right. Thanks, Mark.